is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Yeah, it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News for the Soul. Welcome to News for the Soul, Robert Allen.
Thank you, Nicole. It's great to be here with you tonight.
Why are you here? We're talking to Carolyn Mace about Sacred Contracts, one of her many best-selling books. Welcome to the show, Greg Braden.
Well, good evening, Nicole.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show. And next up, it's Upleveling You with Jessie D. Let's bring her on to reintroduce herself, her show, and what's up for today. Welcome back.
Thanks so much, Nicole. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Upleveling You with me, your host, Jessie D. I am a wife, a homeschool mom, a yoga instructor, an intuitive empath, a psychic medium, soul and ascension coach, and I'm the owner of two businesses. My first business is called Chi Trees and Oils, which offers healing services and products. And I offer those healing services and products out of my two locations, Riverside Studio, a crystal apothecary shop and wellness center. That particular location is in Rochester, Wisconsin. So for those of you that are listening from the southeastern Wisconsin area, hello, thanks for listening. And the other location is called the Crystal Pharmacy, and that is out of East Troy, Wisconsin. I also host, again, the services and products out of that location. I'm so excited to be here. Every month I just get so pumped for this particular show. So thank you for having me. Thank you for listening. Those other healers that are tuning in tonight, I just have a little thing to say to you. Something I've learned over the last few days, that it's totally okay to be a light worker right now. You are needed and you are necessary. So before I get started, being a healer, I have to, you know, clear the energy and make everything feel safe for all of us. So I'm currently lighting a stick of sacred Palo Santo, clear my energy space, clear our space here on the air. It just makes it feel better, and as I hold space for all of you listeners, this just makes me feel a little bit more grounded. Smells lovely. There's smoke still in the air. I live near a river, so all of this smoke is going straight to that river. Guys, the last few months, I have been blessed to share on-air time on this show, Upleveling You, with my good friends and my colleagues. We've been able to share our stories of working together, trying to change lives one life at a time, right, with our expertise and our drive. And I'm a very driven person, but I thought it would be appropriate and fun to bring on one of the most special people to me, another very driven human, my husband, Jacob. So before I formally introduce him, let me say that I do owe my husband a huge amount of gratitude for all that he does for me and our family. I would not be here or where I am in life if it weren't for his unending support, his understanding, his sound advice, and of course, his love. So without further ado, Jacob B., you are an incredibly special person, and I'm excited to have you here with me tonight. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. That's very sweet. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I really, you know, I was thinking about who can I have on, because I've been really excited to have on guests, and I know that this isn't necessarily your ammo, right, but just having you here is exciting because you have a lot to share. You do. You have so much to share. So let me dive into that for the audience here tonight. Jacob and I have been married for 15 years this year. It's super awesome and exciting to say that, right? 15 years went by fast. But for the last 20 years, we have been practicing the law of attraction. We were introduced to it through The Secret, and I mean, it was all those years ago, but we've been using the law of attraction and practicing it, focusing on it to help manifest our dream life. So we've infused our life with Reiki energy, right? Mm-hmm. And it shows. We've used vision boards to assist us, you know, where we used to post up like little pictures that we found in magazines, or we print them off from the websites that we liked. We've journaled in gratitude journals where we've actually created books together and then wrote what we were thankful for the day or the week, you know, checking in with each other's gratitude. We engage in full moon manifestation meditations. We even host them now, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And we do that with our family. Like, we've introduced all of this stuff to our children. And both of them, even at 13 and 9 years old, they're both very successful and using Reiki and the law of attraction, right?
Yep.
So let's paint a maybe better picture for our audience of who we are. This is fun. It's kind of like exposing who we are, and they're not even able to see us. Okay, so we do. I just said we have 2 children and a bunch of animals. Unfortunately, this summer we lost 2 of our 3 dogs,
yeah.
Which has been a big loss. It was really hard on our family and still kind of is. So we have 2 children and a bunch of animals, and I love how I lumped those 2 things together, animals and kids. Well, we're lucky enough that we get to homeschool our children. Because we're lucky enough to both work from home. You work from home for your other job, but I get to be home because I own my own job, right? Like, I own my own business.
Mm-hmm.
But, Jacob, you work as a full-time multimedia developer for a company that runs safety training for heavy equipment operators.
Yeah.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah. I usually just say, I work with computers.
You work with computers, right. But you also have a huge hand in my 2 businesses, the 2 brick and mortar shops. You help work there from time to time. You practice healing sessions and coaching services. You've integrated your own talents into our family business. And I'd love to talk a little bit about this. So last year you certified yourself as an art therapist. Just to clarify, we've learned a lot about that whole process because you can go to college
mm-hmm.
and become certified as an art therapist,
mm-hmm.
But you just took like some online courses that certified you as an art therapist.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a bit of a difference there.
Mm-hmm.
But when you did that, you started offering painting classes at our brick and mortar spot.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun, and it still is fun. Okay, I'll move on. But, you know, so we'll talk a little bit more about those painting classes. And then recently, this is really exciting, you've created your own business, your own label, called Plant Daddy Greens.
Yeah.
So you're Plant Daddy. You're Plant Daddy. And I love this for you because for the 20-plus years that I've been with you, you've always loved farming. You love getting your hands dirty. And you found a joy in growing these microgreens. Really, because we run a business that's about health and wellness, and this branch is so fitting for you.
Yep.
And not to get into too much personal health stuff, but you've had some health things that brought you to learning about microgreens and healing yourself through your own product,
right?
Which is amazing. Yep. And now your whole family is eating these greens 3-4 times a day.
Yeah, just put them in everything.
Put them in everything, and it's just so great. So thank you for that. So now you package all those greens and you're selling them to other health conscious beings in our community, right?
Yeah.
You're doing farmers markets and such like that. Anyway, I know I'm rambling on about you, but there's so much more to share. Jacob, you are a phenomenal musician. And actually, that's how I was brought to you, was through music.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've brought music and sound therapy into our business space as well. Which is just so cool. You create your own music, including writing your own lyrics and singing them to life. Like, you record your own music, you play your own music through electronic software, and you record your own voice, and then you put it all together and you process it and publish it for the world to hear.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know all of this, and I'm blabbing on about it because I'm so incredibly proud of you, mm-hmm. but a lot of the world out there doesn't know. So tell me, what has inspired you to do music like the music that you do? Tell us a little bit more about it.
Sure. So, well, how we met, let's go back to that story. I was actually in a band with your older brother and my good friend, Paul, and you came to see a band practice one day, and that's how we met. So music definitely did bring us together, and that's a great thing. So from a young age, I've always been into music. I love music. I love making music, being creative in general. So I've always been trying to do something with my time with music, no matter whether it's in a band or if I'm by myself or whatever the case is. And most recently, the stuff that I'm making now is very much a reflection of the journey that we've been on and kind of the transformation and the deep dive into more esoteric knowledge base and kind of incorporating all of that journey into song and sharing it.
Sure.
People who might be on that same kind of journey.
Sure. So I don't know how many years ago, it must have been at least 5 years ago when you decided and said to me, I think I'm going to put my music out there for the world to hear. I don't want to be in a band. I want to do this on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And you set up your recording studio in our house, and you decided to call yourself Into the Sun.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Into the Sun. What is that about?
So it kind of has a dual purpose, right? Like some people think like into the sunset, like you're riding off into the sunset. That really wasn't my intention. My intention more was like literally looking at our sun and that not knowing all of the truth behind what that sun is doing for us,
mm-hmm.
and kind of what is the mystery there, and digging into the sun and finding truth, I guess.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. So the original album that you had created, again, 5+ years ago, mm-hmm. you titled Wheels Within Wheels, which is also one of the head songs on the album.
Yeah.
But when you had released the entire album, you said, Jesse, it's just enough time to do a full hour yoga session.
Right.
And so I decided to start using your album to be the background music for my yoga flows incredibly well. But Wheels Within Wheels was the song that would bring myself and my yogis in the class literally to tears.
Mm-hmm.
So what type of energy did you put into Wheels Within Wheels? What was your inspiration behind that particular song?
Actually, it's really about the chakras and the wheels of energy within your body. And it's kind of an interesting song. It kind of builds and builds. And at one point, the flow of the song really slows down and changes and goes in a different direction. And I think that's when people mostly feel that emotional pull in the song. It's about kind of coming to a realization that's what's happening in our bodies, really, you know, and that rings true for everybody. Your chakra systems are very amazing and we're all very lucky.
Yeah, I think that we all feel that through that song. And at the end of our segment today, I want to give you a little bit of time to tell people where they can listen to your music.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So, okay, well, you know what? Thank you so much for sharing. I'm a little bit biased, Jakey, but your music really does soothe my soul, and I know it soothes many other people's, and I appreciate you sharing it with the world. Really quick, just for figure purposes, how many countries have you been listened to in? Because I find this number really fantastic.
It's in the 40s.
So 40 countries yeah. have listened to your music and downloaded it through some kind of Spotify or yeah. iTunes application. Okay,
yeah.
That's amazing. So we'll get back to where they can listen when we're done.
Awesome.
Awesome. So, Jake, to beef up our segment, I wanted to share with our listeners this evening some of our personal stories of our strange and unusual things that have happened to us.
Awesome.
How do you think? Yeah. Kind of putting you on the spot a little bit.
Let's do it.
Okay. So, News for the Soul Radio shares great information about the uplifting and the unexplained. And I think you and I, we can really add to some of those stories. What do you think?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely been a few strange and unusual things that have happened on our journey.
Yeah. So I thought we might want to start strong with our first shared ghost experience. Mm-hmm. The one that happened in our first home together. Do you remember?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll start. So let me paint this picture. It was early Christmas morning. Our daughter was a year old, and we had been living in this home for maybe like 3 or 4 years by this time. And we knew there was activity prior to the story, but this was the first time that it was like a shared experience for us. Okay. So we knew, again, our house had this like spirit-like energy. Potentially from the woman that lived there. We knew there was a woman that had lived there previous to us, and I believe she had passed away from breast cancer, and I know for a fact what her name was. Should we share her name? Because I don't think anybody would know.
No.
It's not confidential. She's passed away. Okay, so her name was Rita. Philip and I, we would say her name often because we heard like bumps in the night, so to speak. We would hear like maybe a body or something running into furniture. But again, these experiences would happen like when I was alone or when you were alone. There was never anything that happened bumping in the night like with both of us together until this Christmas morning, right? Okay. So on Christmas morning, we heard what sounded like rushing water through our basement.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was just a massive amount of water rushing. It was a loud noise. And our little girl was still sleeping, but I remember you rushing out of bed and downstairs as fast as you possibly could. And within moments of you getting down to the basement area where our like utility room would have been, which would have only taken you like a minute, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You get to the space and then I hear you scream.
Yeah.
And what happened? Pick up the story from there.
All right. So our utilities were pretty much in a closet, in a room that also had our washer and dryer in it and a couple other things.
A bathroom.
There was a bathroom. But there was a closet with a closet, like sliding closet door that inside of it had our like well hookup and our water softener and all the pipes and stuff with the water. So imagining that this was sound I was hearing was rushing water, I was running to go into that room to make sure there wasn't a burst pipe or something. That's what I was envisioning in my head.
Right, because we live in Wisconsin and it's winter and who knows what's going to freeze.
But I, this was probably 5 a.m. It was very early and I was not fully awake in the moment.
Coherent.
Just trying to figure out what was going on. So I'm running through this room. I'm headed towards this closet door to open it. Well, I used to run in the mornings on a treadmill and the treadmill was roughly in front of this closet. So I had to step over the treadmill to get into the closet. So in my haste to get into the closet door, I step onto the treadmill and I'm flung across the room and I hit the other wall because the treadmill was the source of the sound and it was on running at full blast.
However,
there was no key in it and it wasn't plugged in. You know how there's like that little key that you have to run
I remember.
If you fall off, it turns it off.
Yeah.
So that wasn't plugged in and it wasn't plugged into the wall.
So it was running on pure energy of some sort.
Yeah.
I do remember your arm being severely bruised from being flung across the room.
It was a very traumatic experience.
It was very scary.
5 a.m. on Christmas.
Man, I can still feel the high of those moments. That was 12 years ago. Can you believe it?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so sticking in the basement, do you remember the alarm clock? This was post that Christmas, post the rushing water treadmill incident.
Same room, too.
Same room. Mm-hmm. Well, same room, but not the same closet. The closet for the utility room versus this new space that was in that area.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, we remember hearing a beeping sound, right? It was coming from the basement. And every once in a while, it would stop. And then you could hear, like, a static noise, like white noise,
mm-hmm.
okay? But it always went back to beeping. So we were kind of rushing around the house, trying to find the source of this beeping, white, static noise sound. And so we went down into the basement where that utility room was, and kind of kitty corner from the utility room was another closet that used to be used as a old canning pantry.
Mm-hmm. It's like a, what do you call it? Like a root cellar.
A root cellar, right, right. A root cellar. So it was all cinder block, but the shelves in there were kind of lined with like a liner to make them prettier looking,
mm-hmm.
right? Keep all the canned goods good. Anyway, it always felt really awkward in that room too, right?
Yeah.
So we had put some really random items in there for storage, but it wasn't like a true place for us, at least, to do storage. And when we heard that beeping, we went down there, and sure enough, that's where it was coming from. I remember you tore the doors open of that room. And what is this? And then we saw it. It was an old alarm clock that did not belong to us. It was not ours.
Nope.
And it was sitting on a shelf in that pantry.
The cord wrapped
around it. No batteries inside. It was not plugged in because the cord was wrapped. And the dang thing was beeping, saying it was 12 o'clock.
Yeah,
flashing 12 o'clock.
Yep.
And so, again, in the same, like, within a 5 steps from where the treadmill was when you had your fall. Yeah, that was wild. So, needless to say, we moved out of that house. Not at all, though, because of the activity, right?
No. It was a great house.
It was a great house.
Happy to share it with Rita.
Yeah, Rita's bumps in the night. It was totally fine and fun. We enjoyed it, yeah. So, let's talk about our address conspiracy.
Ooh, yeah, that's cool.
Okay. I call it that. It's not really, but maybe it is for us, a conspiracy. So Jake and I are actually, we are currently living in our third home together. Our first home, the one that we were just talking about for the two ghostly experiences, were back in 2007, and that was in like a suburb of Milwaukee. It was a quaint little home. Was the place where our first shared ghost experience happened. we love the convenience of that home because of its placement to nearby amenities. But we had some really interesting opportunities happen to us. Again, this was around 2007. I was working a corporate job. You were working your still corporate job, but your boss basically was giving you an opportunity to still work for him, so long as there was internet, you could work from home.
Right.
So then the big question came, well, can that home be anywhere? Does it have to be Wisconsin still?
Mm-hmm.
And he gave us the permission to move where we wanted. So this is where my story that I like to share of my spirituality, my up-leveling, starts when we moved to Tennessee
mm-hmm.
and started our homestead down there. So this was our second home in Tennessee. We uprooted our family. At the time, our daughter was like 2, 3 maybe, and our son was in utero. I was pregnant with our son. But we moved to a log cabin in the middle of 20 acres, wooded acreage, right? We had even a little river, but we were literally in the middle of nowhere, Tennessee, literally middle of nowhere. So the best thing that we could do was to just change our lifestyle. So we learned sustainable living. We raised our two children alongside dogs, cats, ducks, chickens, and goats. There I go again. I included the children with the pets. Isn't that funny? It's like monkeys with the normal dogs, cats, and ducks. We love our children. I'm just joking. But when we were in Tennessee, we truly learned to live a completely different way.
Yeah.
And I think that really brought us closer together. And we created our own ethics and values and belief system, and we just kind of shifted everything. It was really great. Both of us had major awakenings when we were there, and we started projecting our spiritual up-leveling, like, full speed ahead, right?
Yeah.
Everything that we're doing now was just an idea then,
right?
Which was so cool. So when we began searching for our third home to move back to Wisconsin from Tennessee, we started doing that planning, like, well, okay, if we're moving back to Wisconsin, we want it to be kind of like our first home, but we really love this middle of the woods, sustainable living, like surrounded by trees and plants, right? So we wanted to keep that. So we wanted what the first home was like, but we wanted the feel of the second home. And so we just so happened to come across the home we're living in now. And it truly is a blend of the first two homes, right? It really is. It's amazing. But this is the fun part of the story. This is why I call it the address conspiracy. So our first home address, just the numbers, was 3103, right? Okay. I just want to make sure. Yeah. And our second home, the numbers were 539. And our current home, the home that we're living in, is a perfect combo of both those numbers, 31539.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild?
Like they got smushed together.
Yeah. And like, literally, I kid you not, this now home is a perfect combo of everything we loved and favored in our first two homes.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I love how the universe just such a good job, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or how, you know, what is quantum entanglement? How's that for quantum entanglement?
Yeah.
Right?
We got two addresses
mixed together. And our home life is just that, right?
Yeah.
I love this. Well, good. So I really wanted to share this story. Do you remember the Father's Day Schumann resonance story?
Yes.
Can I dive into that one?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, cool. Let's do it. So I, you know, not sure if any listeners out there remember, but there was an uproar about the shapes and figures that were depicted in the Schumann resonance charts the day after Father's Day of this year. And if you recall, the graphs were showing all sorts of bright white lines, geometric figures. Some of those figures looked like chakra symbols. Some looked like zodiac symbols. If you're unfamiliar with the Schumann resonance, it is a chart that shows our Earth's heartbeat or frequency. It shows her frequencies measured in hertz, so all energy is measurable, and this is how we do it. And we use this chart to understand the effects of cosmic weather and Earth weather on our electromagnetic grid of our planet. There's so much more information that we can gather, but my personal favorite is when we have solar flares and how those solar flares directly affect our Earth's heartbeat. And then that shows on the Schumann resonance. And why I even dive into any of this, and I have been for decades now, is if the Earth is affected by these solar flares or by these, electromagnetic grid effects, then you can bet your bottom dollar people are going to feel it too. We will have symptoms. I personally like to call those symptoms ascension symptoms, but they're called all sorts of different things. Right. So anyway, the day after Father's Day, there was quite the hype about what was being seen on the charts. And people all over the globe were kind of thrown off, like, is this real? What does this mean? First time it's ever been seen like that. But I'll tell you, the reason why this was happening is we were under a solar flare storm. There were like KP9 storm solar flares and all sorts of geomagnetic solar winds and things like that. So the electromagnetic grid was really being blasted. And when we saw those measurements, they were off the charts, like over 100 hertzes, whereas normal is like between 7 and 9 hertzes. So we were being blasted, and the charts were showing it. Anyway, going into our personal story, our family went out for Father's Day, and we had settled in for the evening. And I remember falling asleep during my prayers of saying thanks for our fun-filled day, our loving family, our health, our healing path, et cetera, et cetera. It wasn't long after that I had fallen asleep that I noticed that I was leaving my physical body. I sort of looked back at myself sleeping in my bed, thought to myself, oh, she's fine, I can go. And I left. I went through the bedroom window. I flew around the corner of our home, and I headed straight south. And I was, like, flying high above the treetops, right? I'm sure our listeners are like, yeah, you didn't actually do that. That's called a dream. I get it. Like, I totally get it. Yes, this was definitely a dream. But think further along than dream. Think astral projection. And if you need to look that up on Google while you're listening, look up astral projection. It's amazing. So anyway, I flew down towards the south, and I'm high above the treetop, and I end up landing in, if I were to guess where I would say I was in Texas. That's what it felt like to me. Energetically, intuitively, I would say I was in Texas. And I landed right in front of like a slab sidewalk that was going to lead me into what looks like a big science lab building, okay? So I walk up to this door, and a woman, two women actually, on either side of the door have like white science lab coats on, or like doctor coats. Mm-hmm. And she hands me a satchel. And so I put this satchel on over, strap it over my shoulder, and I walk down the hallway because I know where I'm going apparently. And I go through like double doors, like I'm going into an operating room or like a high-level private party room, whatever. Yeah. I go through these double doors, and off to the right in this big room is a huge scalar technology machine. Do you know what those are?
Yeah.
Okay, so just technology is basically where you can see the heartbeats of sound energy or light energy. Does that make sense? Am I saying that correctly?
Yes. And you can also like infuse that energy into things using scalar technology.
Right. So you would have like a positive pole and a negative pole, so to speak, and you can pull energy straight from ether and then put that into water. If you've ever seen a scalar machine that has sand on top of it, and then they turn up the machine and it creates a sound wave, and the sand creates like a beautiful mandala picture.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's creating the waves of that energy. Okay, so you get the point. So I see this giant scalar technology machine, and I go over and I unplug it from the wall like I own the place. I wrap the cord around it, and I shrink the machine down just big enough so it fits inside that satchel, which is wild. Like, the machine was as big as a bed, right? So to get it into my little satchel purse. But then I go back down this long hallway. I go back outside. And I lift myself up back into the sky high above the clouds, and I go straight east, so far east that I know I'm flying over the ocean, and I know that I'm coming into what, again, my intuition tells me that I was somewhere in the UK, okay? I think when I was originally there, I thought Germany, but again, this was Father's Day, so it was a couple months ago. Anyway, so I'm flying, and then it's about 4 o'clock in the morning, so the sun is just starting to glimmer enough where I can see color in the sky and the trees and stuff,
mm-hmm.
And I'm looking in down on the ground and the land. I know that I'm looking for a very specific place, and my gut feeling is telling me that I'm going to find it as soon as I see the marks in the field. That's what I kept hearing. The marks in the field. And sure enough, I see this beautiful wheat field out in the distance with some trees on it that were, some were green, some were red, some were yellow. It was fall there. or about to be, and gorgeous. And I see these tire tracks running through this field of wheat, right? So I'm like, oh, there it is. And I swoop down and I land in one of those tire tracks and I sit down on the ground and I unload my satchel. Mm. And my satchel has this machine that when I pull it out, it goes back to its original size. And I take those polar sticks, the positive and the negative.
Right.
I stick one into the ground on one side of me, one into the ground on the other. And then I get my body into the position of the lotus pose for yoga.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
And I'm looking outward, sitting straight up through my spine in this lotus pose. And I'm looking outward out of this track mark that I'm sitting in. And I basically lose myself in a nice meditation. And then I look up and I kind of kneel up, I guess. I like kneel onto my knees to look up above the machine and out past where I'm sitting. And I tell myself, oh, yep, that looks good. That looks good. The earth did a good job doing that one, right? Mm-hmm. And I take the machine and out of the ground and I wrap it back up and I stick it back in my satchel and back up into the air I go, back to that lab in Texas to drop the machine off. And then back into my body.
Wow.
So now when I come back into my body, it's like 5 in the morning, our time here in Wisconsin. And I had one of those, like, came back into my body, and I took my first breath like I had been drowning, right?
Right.
And I looked all around, and I was so confused and so flabbergasted by what had just happened. But the first instinct I had is to look at my phone. And on my phone was the Schumann resonance, so all of those shapes and colors that were depicted because something in the Earth's frequency had changed, which mm-hmm. was my entire dream.
Right.
Right? And then the other part of it was that a new crop circle had been created in a little tiny town in UK. Yeah. And one of the edges of this crop circle, when I looked at the picture, just so happened to be touching the ruts of the tractor marks that I was sitting in and so desperately looking for when I was trying to land
right.
to take this machine. Hmm. And so I couldn't help but that day when I was looking at all of that stuff, I couldn't help but share it with you first off.
Right.
And what else did I do? You can go ahead and tell the world.
Oh, you cried. That was very emotional.
I cried because yeah. I felt so incredibly connected to this experience that was worldly. It was bigger than I was. It was bigger than anything I had ever known. But I felt very, very connected to it. And I couldn't help but think that, you know, these crop circles that were starting to pop up, and they still have been since Father's Day, are not necessarily aliens.
Sure.
Maybe, right? It could just be the Earth talking through its giant solar flare storms that are literally changing this Earth from 3D to 5G.
Right.
I don't know.
And that just shows you another topic that we can go off on forever is the amount of work that healers do in their dreams.
Yes.
So many times you've told me that you've dreamt of a person or you've dreamt of handing somebody a certain crystal, and then not only will you see that person or hear about that person right away but in the near future after I hear about these dreams, but sometimes even it's the other person that's had the dream about you
handing yeah.
them something, and they'll say, you gave me something called lapis lazuli. What's lapis lazuli? We're like, oh, it's a crystal. You know, what do you need it for? You know, and then it starts the whole conversation.
And it's so, exactly what that person needs. And right. I didn't know why they needed it because it wasn't firsthand. It was in a dream.
Right. So mm-hmm. I think not just healers, but I think everybody has assignments and work that they do when they're sleeping.
Yeah. I believe it. I definitely feel like I do a lot of work in my dreams, not necessarily creating crop circles. This one might be a bit far-fetched, but I do have a lot of memory dreams where I am serving people crystals, mm-hmm. And I don't want to get into any political things, but I've served crystals to people in politics, giving them a little boost of confidence to help them along because they're needing it.
Sure.
And that has been really profound for me.
Wow.
Aw, thanks so much, Jake, for being my safe space so I can share with you some of these out-of-body experiences that I have. I really appreciate you encouraging me to share my true, authentic self with the world so that we can wake up to the potential energies we possess now and beyond, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you. We have just a little bit of time left, and I'd love to go kind of quickly into one more story I was hoping to share. Do you remember a couple of summers ago, it was right around 4th of July, that we did a farm energy clearing?
Yes.
Okay.
That was interesting.
Yeah. So we've done several farm clearings before, but this one was just a bigger caliber of experience for us.
Right.
And I ended up going back again this last year by myself, though.
Right.
I didn't want to bring
maybe
you.
Maybe not a good idea.
Well, maybe not a good idea, but I didn't want to bring you with. And I'm not going to go into my personal experience. I will say that I definitely was in contact with many, many entities that day.
Yeah.
One that actually strapped me down to the side of a trailer. And I had four girls peeling me off of the side of that trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we're not going to go into that one. That's as much as I'm going to share on it.
No good.
It was no good. So anyway, let's talk about it. So not to share too much about the family's situation, but they have a ton of paranormal activity on their property. And at this point, they were just really sick of it and wanted to have a major attempt to put it to rest.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, and it's kind of interesting that it wasn't confined to like a house or a building.
No, it was the property, like actually the land.
Right.
And any building that they put on it was bound to get some type of possession of whatever this entities are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. And so children had just moved to the property. So that was really ultimately we really need to take care of this. So anyway, long story short, we had gone there to make sure we could do a clearing, which really involved me saging the property, all four corners. We kind of laid out a map of where we needed to go and walk.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big property. I think it was 60-some acres or something like that.
Yeah.
So we walked the whole thing to the four corners. That was ultimately the thing, is we were going to go to the four corners, and we did a little prayer session. We put some crystals in the corners. We put archangel stones in there. We blessed it with whatever element, whether we were facing north, south, east, or west, we blessed it with an element.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was buried like 2 feet deep maybe.
Yeah.
And then you covered it all and did your, what is that called? When you stack rocks and like balance them. I don't remember what it's called.
A cool name.
It does have a cool name.
I just call it stacking rocks.
Yeah, you're really good at it though. So like when you take the rocks and you stack them up real tall into like a balance. But on their property, we had done 3 of the 4 corners with like pretty decent size rocks, maybe like 2, I don't know, it's hard to say. But then the 4th corner nearest their driveway, we'd had a bulldozer and you guys pulled in 3 boulders and stacked them. Yeah, that was amazing. But anyway, so when we were walking these to the corners and doing our saging, I was burning an 8-inch Yerba Santa stick, and a gust of wind blew the wind up the stick and the fire onto my hand. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And I remember feeling so angry, and I was like, this anger is not mine. This is whatever just tried to burn me.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the people we were walking with felt that same sensation in their feet. They were walking barefoot, and they said they felt the yuckiness and heat in their feet.
Mm-hmm.
That was weird. But go ahead and talk about your experience, because I think that it was profound. There were 2 things that happened, because you were recording some of it, to see if we could get anything on camera.
Right.
So the first experience was when we were walking through the woods. What do you remember?
I just remember it was a very beautiful, sunny, puffy white clouds in the sky kind of day.
Mm-hmm.
We had a little bit of breeze going, but as soon as we walked into that woods, it got very quiet and very dark.
It was dark.
And heavy.
Yes.
It was It was an uneasy feeling for sure.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very uneasy. And there was a little bit of a gust of wind that had come through when we were in the middle of those dark woods.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it was out of place.
It was out of place. It was. Yeah, I remember that. And then after we went through that that darker set of woods, you come out to the other side, and there were two very large barn buildings, one that had a silo. So that was kind of like the milking house, the main cow barn. And I was very drawn to that. And the side story of that is there was a fire there at one point because of an electrical storm. So I was aware of that, but I was more drawn to that silo barn because of an old milking maid that I for sure know lived there. She's shown herself to me several times when I've gone over there.
Mm-hmm.
But you were recording in the silo, and I don't remember what I was saying, but I was saying something. Can you recall?
I don't remember the specifics of what you're talking about. I think you're talking about how this is where the cows were. You're talking like something about like this is where they would be milking the cows or something.
Yeah, I knew, like, I could see the layout, so to speak. Even though there was multiple constructions over the years, I could see the original layout of where the cows would come in and out of that silo. There was something I don't remember. I just felt a woman's presence, and I remember saying something, and we had caught a gust of wind that had come through the silo.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the wind shouldn't be able to go through that space.
Right. There's no open area.
Yeah. It was so wild. And it felt very sticky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was cold and clammy.
Cold and clammy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then didn't we went in the house after that and into the basement of the house.
Yes.
The farmhouse. I feel like it was the same kind of energy that we felt in the barn with the milkmaid.
The woman's energy.
The woman's energy.
Mm-hmm.
You said that you could very clearly see and hear her walking up the stairs with big heavy
boots.
Heavy boots.
She had like muck boots on, and she was a bigger lady.
Like carrying a bucket or something. Like
mm-hmm.
That. Mm-hmm. And I could totally feel that energy too when we're down in that basement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very much so.
Yeah, so we put this, we did a clearing, like all these spaces that we're talking about, we just were saging and praying, and we put lots of crystals and buried crystals, and then did all the rock building and just kind of blessed the property. And it lasted for a while, but this last summer I had to go back. And again, I don't want to go into the details of that one. Maybe one day I'll write a book about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was one of those situations where I needed to take about a month off of doing any type of clearing or protection ceremonies for people, because that one had not spooked me, but just gave me some unsettling attachments.
Yeah.
And I didn't really want to share that with anybody, so I took some time off from work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Aw. Well, look at that time. This has been so much fun talking to you. It's just really exciting recalling some of the fun things we've been through together.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, right? Like, we've had some fun times and some interesting experiences. And, you know, I love that through all of these changes and transformations, we still put the life goals, values, and ethics into what we want to create in this life, where our law of attraction and Reiki is still playing a huge, hard role in everything we do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, well, thank you so much for joining me today. It was a lot of fun, and I totally love you.
I totally love you too.
Well, that's all the time we have, but I want to give both of us a little bit of time to do that amazing shameless self-promotion. So Jacob, News for the Soul Radio gives us time and space to shamelessly promote ourselves as healers and way showers. I want you to take a moment and share with the world how they can connect with you for your greens, your mm-hmm. music, your art classes, whatever you'd like to shamelessly promote.
Sure. So I grow microgreens, as you had mentioned, and those are always available at both of our crystal shop locations. Riverside Studio in Rochester, Wisconsin, and the Crystal Pharmacy of East Troy, Wisconsin. I also do the occasional farmers market in the local area with those as well. And you can always find information about those at plantdaddygreens.com. Also, my art classes, I do instructor-led art classes. They're about an hour to 2 hours long, kind of, I say, Bob Ross style training. Those are a lot of fun, and those can be also found through cheatreesandoils.com and available at both of our studio locations. And then as far as my music goes, you can find me on all of the streaming platforms that are out there. My latest song is called Summer Solstice. So if you just search Summer Solstice by Into the Sun, you'd find me and all of my other songs.
Cool.
Yeah.
You're a busy guy.
I try to be.
And now to shamelessly promote our children who are not here with us today, but
sure.
our daughter is going into high school, and we homeschool our kids. So I'm shamelessly promoting that Jacob and myself have been homeschooling for 9 years now. We're getting into our ninth year, and we are going to be homeschooling a high schooler, which is just incredibly challenging and awesome, very rewarding. So I'll take over. I'll shamelessly self-promote myself, your host this evening, Jessie V. I am an intuitive empath, psychic medium. I do soul and ascension coaching, and I am a master at life. I'm a Reiki master, and I infuse Reiki intelligence into everything that I do. I just posted on one of my social media channels the other day that you can take Reiki classes with me and become a Reiki practitioner yourself, or you can just have a session with me. Either way, your life will be up-leveled no matter how you choose to work with me. I am starting my very own school of Reiki, where I will be releasing some of the best-kept secrets for Reiki and how to utilize in your own daily life so that you can live the life of your dreams, because Jake and I we're living ours, and I want to share that with you because we all deserve to be happy. You can reach me for in-person sessions or distance sessions. My name, again, is Jessie Vivian. My business is CHI Trees and Oils. That's CHITreesandOils.com. Or you can just call me or text me. My phone number is 414-241-8297. You guys, thanks so much for listening to Upleveling You with Jessie V. I'll see you next month. Bye-bye.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.